This episode of the 9 to 5 Mac Security Byte podcast is sponsored by Mosle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Mosle is the only Apple unified platform for business. Mosle's integrated approach to management and security combines state-of-the-art Apple-specific security solutions for fully automated hardening and compliance, next-generation EDR, AI-powered Zero Trust, and exclusive privilege management with the most powerful and modern Apple MDM on the market. The result is a totally automated Apple unified platform currently trusted by over 45,000 organizations to make millions of Apple devices work ready with no effort and at an affordable cost. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, and protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Mosle is more than an Apple MDM. Mosle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mosle.com. That's business.mosyle.com. Thanks to Mosle for sponsoring the 9 to 5 Mac Security Byte podcast. Hey, it's Aaron, your host and Apple security writer and columnist at 9 to 5 Mac. So WWDC finally concluded at the end of last week. The big headlining keynote on Monday was all about Siri AI. You know, it was the talk of the town and everybody has an opinion on it. And most people's opinions actually seem pretty positive. But there's one feature that Apple showcased for like maybe 30 seconds that I think is way more interesting than Siri. And it's the new agentic AI feature that's sort of buried in the Apple Passwords app. It gets even more interesting once you bring work accounts and manage devices into the mix. So overall today, I really want to run through everything that Apple actually changed for security and privacy in iOS and macOS 27. I'll walk through what's new, what I'm seeing in the beta, and what the rest of the security world is saying. So tune in. Whether you have an iPhone in your pocket or thousands of Macs under your management, there's going to be something in this episode for you. Let's start talking about the new passwords feature, because this is something that I keep coming back to. I even wrote an extensive column on 9 to 5 Mac, sort of giving a roundup summary of what the feature is and my take on it. Basically, right now, Apple Passwords, as you may know, already scans your saved logins and flags the ones that are weak, that are reused, or that it caught in a known breach. Now, the problem, if you're on iOS 26 or later, is you have to go manually change these yourself. And if you're anything like me, I have hundreds that it says are weak or reused or caught in a known breach. These could be, the majority of them are belong to accounts I don't even have anymore that I just haven't removed from the Passwords app. But a lot of them are legitimate and ones that I could change, but I'm just too lazy to do so. Maybe because the account just isn't a priority or one that I use often or whatever the many excuses that I have. But you have to go through each one and dig through the settings and find the password change page and generate a new one and then save it to the Passwords app. As Steve Jobs would say, yuck. Now in iOS 27, it collapses all of that into literally a single tap. There's a new fix passwords button that is in the security section of the app. When you tap it, it uses agentic AI through a fixed computer use model, and it goes through each site and actually changes the passwords for you. I have so many thoughts on this. It works through Safari to open the site, sign in with your existing login, and walks through the change flow and saves a strong password straight to your iCloud keychain. But what's really cool is that it'll even ask for permission to temporarily grab two-factor authentication codes from either messages or mail. If one of the accounts has two-factor enabled, it can grab those codes. And this all happens in the background too. So you don't have to keep the Passwords app open. You just have to tap the button and then you can put your phone down, go do something else or go into another app, and it'll still run in the background. And the whole thing runs as a live activity, so you can actually watch it work in real time. So Apple says the feature is powered by its next-gen foundation models. These run locally on your iPhone or Mac, and also through private cloud compute. Now, I've got a lot of comments in that column that I wrote on 9to5Mac about this feature. A lot of you were asking, like, what exactly does that data flow look like? And unfortunately, we don't really know much right now. It's very much a black box. But what we do know is that it uses these next-gen foundation models locally on device using private cloud compute for navigating websites, change password forms, etc. Now, this could be third-party tested and verified. You know, Apple says that it is still allowing people, organizations to do this. So I suspect we'll learn more as more and more betas eventually come out and when we get the full public releases in the fall alongside the new iPhones. What gets me about this is that Apple almost never uses the word agentic, and I'm pretty sure that this is the first use of the word agentic we've ever seen in iOS, even though Siri itself does do some really cool AI agent things. Apple has never explicitly used the word agentic within a feature. And even Craig Federighi, head of software at Apple, was on record not long ago calling today's consumer AI agents, you know, exciting experiments that are still super early and that, you know, you won't see agents coming from Apple, et cetera, et cetera. But now here they are shipping agents, or at least one fixed model, fixed computer use agent in one of the most sensitive apps on your iPhone. So, you know, I think this is really interesting. It's a little hypocritical, but this is one of the most impressive uses of computer use AI that I've seen from Apple. And that's not something I say about Apple or AI very often. So I'm genuinely very impressed with this, and I can't wait to see where else that they can take this. Now, are there some downsides? Sure. I mean, the feature is in beta. One of the things that I don't see being fixed is if you don't have an email saved to the Mail app, there's no way for the Passwords AI model to grab the 2FA code if it's just not saved into the Mail app. So, for example, I have my work Gmail account, which is not saved into the Mail app, and so it doesn't have visibility into getting those 2FA codes. And the same goes for if you have Google Authenticator with rotating codes, your iPhone just doesn't have visibility into those. So what the Passwords app will do is just skip those accounts because it doesn't have access to those codes. Now, where I can see Apple improving this is skipping the accounts faster, because I've noticed that the Passwords app will stay fixed on like an account even if it's like impossible for it to get the codes for 5 minutes. So it'll just stay there for minutes and then not do anything. But so I could see that just being improved in a future beta or eventually the one in the fall. On the enterprise side, there's also an angle here worth adding, and one that I haven't really seen been covered by a lot of outlets. So the same one-tap convenience that's great for regular users could also be a headache if you manage like thousands of Macs or you have a big iPhone work environment. For example, let's say that you have an employee that has a bunch of work logins saved to his password app on his personal iPhone. They tap the fix button and let the agent loose on the company accounts. Now throw in like the Authenticator app, as I mentioned, and instead of a text or email code, the agent has nothing to grab. So even after the computer use model has granted that one-time password permission, I could see failed changes and lockouts quickly turn into help desk tickets, as there's just so many requests going out or empty requests. If that user just keeps trying on resetting that password. It's still in very early beta, like I mentioned, but as of now, there's no mention of an MDM setting to manage or turn off agentic passwords on company-owned devices. Apple usually ships a control for a feature like this, and plenty of organizations already have iCloud keychain syncing turned off, which might actually shut off this feature on its own anyways. We'll have to see. But for heavily regulated industries like finance and healthcare, an AI changing credentials with like no clear record of what it did isn't going to sit well with the compliance team. But overall, for what it's worth, I think that this is a pretty gnarly move for Apple and a really smart one because it keeps people using the Passwords app and ultimately in the Apple ecosystem. You know, because now they're changing dozens and dozens of passwords automatically. And where is Apple saving those new passwords? To the Passwords app. And that's not easily exportable to another third-party application. So, I mean, A plus Apple for locking people in. It knows what it does best. And to round out the enterprise side, where it gets interesting is, you know, once you bring this all into work, you've now got an OS level feature logging into websites and rotating credentials on behalf of users. So, I mean, there's so many questions that arise because of this, like, how does it behave with managed accounts? What happens when it tries to change a password your company actually controls? Can it govern it or shut it off? And I mean, these are the questions that IT admins are going to want answered before the feature lands in the fall. Okay, moving on to other privacy and security features that Apple announced at WWDC. I mean, the whole keynote was built around Siri AI. So, you know, Apple announced a lot of cool Siri features, like how it can search your messages, your emails, your photos, whatever apps you have on your phone. It can act on your screen, act upon whatever's on your screen. I mean, it basically indexes your entire phone, can help you pull things from the internet, also on device. It's just a ton of access to hand to one assistant. So, of course, Apple's going to lean hard on the privacy pitch. Craig Federighi flat out said that privacy in AI is a non-negotiable. The setup with Siri AI is the basic Apple split, where it processes on device and then it can fall back on private cloud compute whenever it needs more horsepower. Now, Apple says anything that goes to private cloud compute isn't stored on device. It isn't accessible by Apple, and it only stays open for outside researchers to verify, which is huge. I don't want to get too much into recapping what exactly Siri AI does, because I don't think that is relevant here, and there's already a ton of coverage on 9to5 Mac about that. Siri AI is not available in the EU due to the Digital Markets Act, so basically the story is going to look a little different depending on where you're at. For regular users, the privacy part of this should be mostly reassuring, but the second you bring this into a work environment, like a managed enterprise, I think it can turn into a real governance problem, because if Siri can read what's on your screen, it can read a screen full of sensitive company data. The good news is Apple actually gave IT knobs this time. Jamf pointed out that in iOS 27, there are granular controls over Apple intelligence on managed devices, and it's not just one big switch. Manage Engine notes that you can separate controls for writing tools and image playground, Genmoji, mail, Safari summaries, notes. I believe there was some more there too. So instead of just a blanketed yes or a no, you can set policies by group, which is really nice for an MDM. Which makes sense, because legal, finance, and engineering are never going to want the same rules. They're all going to want their own switches depending on features and you know, their own environments. Jamf's bigger takeaway from this, though, it wrote, is one that actually lands with me pretty significantly. It's the on-device approach, where the data never leaves the device. It's the kind of AI architecture security teams can actually like get behind. Whenever anything goes to the cloud, even if they say it's encrypted end-to-end, it's such a huge flag. It's just a huge red flag. So on-device, always the best method, and on-device encryption, even better. Okay, let's move on to Find My. There's a lot of really cool things happening at Find My that also didn't get a lot of coverage. It'll be a quick one, but the bigger takeaway is that Find My now lets you stop sharing your location with someone that you've already shared it with. It also won't tip them off that you have your location paused for them. Now, if you're anything like my friends and my family, you add so many people to your Find My, where they can see your location, you know, for various reasons, and that you don't ever remove or update them. So I'm always hounding them to like update their Find My app. I'm like, you don't talk to these people anymore, and they can see everywhere you go. Like, remove them. You know, this is like so evasive. But you know, once you remove them, they could get a notification saying that this person's location is no longer available, and you know that they're removed. So you can pause them from seeing your location is just so much cleaner and just avoids an awkward conversation or an awkward situation. And it sounds pretty small, but the design pretty clearly has controlling and abusive situations in mind, where that alert that you cut someone off could be potentially dangerous. Now that that notification is gone, you sort of take away the escalation that could happen. And I mean, for everybody else, this is just kind of a quieter way to avoid an awkward conversation. Apple also added a set duration feature where you can also share your location for a set amount of time. You don't just have to share it outright indefinitely. So that's pretty cool if you're, you know, going to a concert, vacation, wherever, and you'd like your friends or your family to know where you're at and your location. You can set it for a day, a week, a month, whatever you'd like. Something that also really flew under the radar was we got a new device recovery mode in iOS 27. And basically what it is, it's the Max recovery setup finally just making its way to the iPhone, where your phone can boot into a stripped down interface without loading the entire operating system at once. That matters a big deal for security. When your device gets into a bad state, you're going to want like a clean, minimal environment to recover instead of leaning on the full OS that might be the thing that's broken. So it's a small resilience win, and I love to see this. Next up, child safety. Apple spent a huge amount of time talking about child safety. This is not something that I'm super passionate about. I think it's very important. I don't have any kids, but for parents out there, Apple's also expanding child safety and parental controls across iOS 27 and macOS 27. So what that means is parents are going to get more content filtering. They're going to be able to block specific apps outright, and there's going to be new tools to catch unsuitable images like nudity and gore before they show up on the screen. This is definitely more of a family story than like a security or enterprise one, maybe a little bit more towards privacy, but I think it's a real piece of this year's security picture, and I didn't want to skip it out, right? I think it was super important. So a lot of new child safety stuff worth checking out if you are a parent in iOS 27, macOS 27. And speaking of the Mac, on macOS 27 Golden Gate, it's going to carry the same Apple Intelligence privacy features and the new agentic AI passwords feature as you would get on the iPhone. But if you manage Macs within an enterprise, macOS Golden Gate is sort of like a deadline for you, because Golden Gate runs on silicon only. And if you have not seen any headlines yet, Golden Gate drops support for Intel Mac, and those machines will stay on macOS Tahoe 26 with about 3 years of security updates before they're basically done for. If you run a fleet, that's sort of like a timeline that you want to start budgeting for now, because 3 years will go a lot quicker when you're replacing hundreds of machines on a schedule. There's also a bigger shift happening underneath this release too. The Mac admin community is calling WWDC 26 a migration year because Apple's pulling out of the legacy MDM mechanisms and moving everyone over to declarative device management. Manage Engine flagged new sign-on improvements built for zero trust authentication, plus compliance with frameworks like NIST and SIS. Apple also added new APIs to automate a lot of tedious management work. Things like blueprints, configurations, users groups, apps, licenses. Oh, and there's also volume app subscriptions coming later this fall, so organizations can hand out subscriptions instead of one-off apps, which is pretty neat. And on the privacy side of that, Safari on Mac picks up some tighter settings along with a new AI tab and some extension tools. From the new Siri AI to the agentic AI passwords feature, to the new child safety protections, to the phasing out of Intel Macs, to the new iOS 27 recovery mode, I say the Find My features. This is basically the WW26 security and privacy picture. Whether you're just a single user interested in learning more, what's coming to iPhone in the fall, or you manage thousands of Macs, pilot it early. Map out your policies and just don't roll anything out blind. I'm Aaron Weitschulis. This has been Security Byte. And if you have any thoughts on any of these features or iOS or macOS 27, leave them in the comments below. And I'll see you in the next episode of the Security Byte podcast.